Father, we do bless you and we praise you this morning for your awesome love that you have loved us with, your unconditional love that you love us with. How great and mighty is our God, and that we worship you and praise you, O Father, for all that you are doing in the midst of us. You have brought us out of so much, and that you're bringing us into yourself day by day, closer relationship. Father, we praise you and we bless you. Amen. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul says, "My little children, of whom I have travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you." The Amplified says, "My little children, for whom I again am suffering birth pains until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you." And then the Message Bible says, "Do you know how I feel right now? And will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your lives." The travailed in birth again, it's talking about birth pains, until Christ be formed in you, until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded in you, until Christ's life becomes visible in your life. This, God gave me this week, and I've been thinking about it and all. God's plan for us, which was before the foundation of the world, is to bring Christ visibly into the earth in a corporate man. And what God has done is that He has drawn out of the religious community those whom He has chosen in Himself before the foundation of the world to be a part of this mighty company that is to be manifested in the earth. And you know, the thing about it is that those whom God is ministering to in this hour has absolutely nothing to boast about except in what God is doing in them. Because it's God's choosing and it's God's purpose. And it doesn't lift or elevate us any higher than any other child of God in the earth. It's just because of God's purpose that He is bringing forth this Son in the earth. And I thought about this, until Christ is formed in you. That's what God is doing in this hour, is forming Christ within us. That when He unveils this corporate man, that Christ will be seen in the earth. The Bible says that He will come suddenly to His temple. And that's what He's doing. I mean, His word of revelation is in us. And I like what He says, until Christ's life becomes visible in you. Paul talked about it. He said that he desired to be clothed upon with that heavenly tabernacle. Not that he wanted to be naked, but he wanted to be clothed upon with that heavenly tabernacle. When Christ came forth from the grave, and we've said it so many times before, Christ did not come forth with that same body that He went into the grave. Because that body that He that died and was placed in that grave was a body of flesh and blood that was mortal and was subject to death and decay. But that body that came out from the grave was the first fruits of the resurrection, that came forth and conquered and overcome death. And it says, "Behold, I have the keys of death and hell." He came out from death with a glorified body, and that is the same body that you and I are going to have when we're manifested in the earth. And we are being formed, that Christ is being formed in us. It's not us. Our mind is being metamorphosed and transformed. Our consciousness is being raised higher in that spiritual dimension, because God is telling us over and over again that we are spirit beings. He created us spirit beings out of Himself first, before He created and formed this outward shell that we see, or this vehicle that carries our spirit. And in Colossians 3 and verse 10, he says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." And I still think this word knowledge is a knowing, a complete knowing. And relationship, that's where that comes from, is relationship. And this week I was reminded, the Lord reminded me that a few years ago when we were in Myrtle Beach, we were talking about that God was calling us aside. He was putting us in our little booths that we might have that personal relationship with Him. And I went back and looked up the word that was used there in the Feast of Tabernacle, booths. And it means to be entwined as a screen, by implication, to be fenced in, to be covered over, to be hedged in, to be joined together, to shut up, be shut up, to be joined together. And that's what God is doing. We are being, the Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is the same spirit. We are being joined together. God is calling us into a personal, intimate relationship and fellowship with Himself. We come together. We listen to different ministries. We read after different ministries. But when it all comes down to the very fact, it is that we are being individually in a individual personal relationship with Christ, that He is bringing each of us along together, that at the same time He can take the cover off and manifest His sons in the earth. And here He says, we have been put on, the Amplified Bible says, and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed, remolded. Now, you can't remold something that hadn't already been molded. I mean, we're already created in His image. We've been predestinated, created in His image, conformed to His image already. But we're being remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge, upon knowledge, after the image of the likeness of Him who created Him. So, Paul said, I'm travailing in birth pains until Christ be formed in you. You know, when you look at all of Paul's writings, Paul didn't talk about death or hell. You won't find anywhere where Paul talked about hell or everlasting punishment, or he talked about death. Paul featured on life. Paul saw the ending of what God was going to do in the earth in our hour. And that was to bring life. And he saw the importance of Christ being formed within us. And clothe yourself with the new spiritual self. And that is ever in the process of being renewed and being remolded. And we look back at our lives. How many times have God renewed and remolded us? How many times has our thinking been so changed? I mean, the things that I see now, There was a day in my life that I considered them heretical. There was a day that I thought they were false teachings. I mean, we go back into the days of even as I did, we started in the Baptist church and then into the Pentecostal churches. And God has molded and remolded and reshaped our thinking and brought us to this hour and to this understanding. And sometimes I look back in awe at what God has done. How great is His love? How great is His mercy that He chose in Himself a part of Himself, a first fruits part of Himself, from the beginning of time, that He would always reveal what He was doing in the earth in that hour. He's always had it. Abraham was a first fruits. He was a father of faith. He was a father of a great nation. The Bible says over and over again, in Him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And look what has happened all the way along. We can see individuals, people who have been a part of the forerunner of that which was to come. It's exciting when we stop to think about it. We look on the exterior, we don't see a whole lot of things happening exteriorly in this realm. But we look on the inside and we can see God molding and remolding and shaping and reshaping and bringing a fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and the likeness of Him who created us, who brought us forth. And then in verse 11, he says, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. See, that's all that matters. Doctrine separates. Doctrine brings division. Religion brings division. Yes, somebody, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I'm a member of so-and-so church. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, everybody in my life, this has been our church. But do you know Christ? And they don't know what you're talking about. And then there are those in the religious system that have the audacity to preach that they are the only ones. That if you're not a member of their church, and I remember this growing up, that when my mother got her driver's license and we went to the Baptist church, we'd been going to the Christian church. One of the elders in the Christian church cornered my sister and told her, in no way that she could misunderstand it, that if she didn't get back to that church and become a member, that she was going to hell. Because that was the only church. But if that's the only church, then God failed. He failed, and He failed greatly. Because it's a small denomination, and only a handful of out of all those that God created would ever go to heaven. Churches, denominations, divide. And you can look at there's one denomination, and down the road there's another church, you get the history of it, they have got mad at each other, and they've gone and built another church, and they've started another denomination. It divides. But Christ is all in all. Christ unites. At the cross, everybody is on the same level and on the same page. Hallelujah. There is no division in Him. He is one. And those that are with Him are one. In the 12th verse, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Clothe yourself as God's chosen ones, hand-picked, and representatives who are purified and holy well beloved by God Himself. I want you to just listen to this verse of Scripture. He says, His own hand picked representatives who are purified, who are. He didn't say you will be. He said you are purified. You are holy. You are well beloved by God Himself by putting on behavior marked and tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, and patient, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Then he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so gave him. And above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts, which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an empire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind in that perfect state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you are were also called to live. You see, one body, there's not two. There's no separation in God. There's not two bodies of Christ. There's not a Baptist body of Christ, a Pentecostal body of Christ, an Episcopal body of Christ. There's no such thing as that. What did he say? There was neither Jew or Gentile or any of these. We are all one in Christ, and Christ is in all. And in Ephesians 4:24, he says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, if we look at it and see what God says, that we're already, that new man, which we are, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Is created in the image of God, God-like, in true righteousness and true holiness. Now, what you wear has nothing to do with whether you're holy or not. Where you cut your hair has nothing to do with whether you're holy or not. The church you go to has nothing to do with whether you're holy or not. You know, whether you read your Bible or not has nothing to do with whether you're holy or not. God's drawing His people into a relationship with Himself. To come aside. And I just don't want anybody to get any thoughts that I'm saying to go out here in our yard and build some kind of a booth and sit in. But in the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacle, Israel was commanded to build booths and to stay in those booths for 7 days. Seven is the number of completion. God is telling us to build our spiritual booths. To draw aside from the clamor and the clutter and all of the noise that is in this world today, and come to the place where you can hear His voice in you, His revelation, His unveiling of the Word in you, that you may grow thereby, that you may enter into a higher dimension of the Spirit, that you may be changed thereby. What does He tell us? Behold in Him as in a glass darkly, we are changed from glory unto glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that we've put on the new man and is created after in God's image or God's likeness, and it's in true righteousness and true holiness. And in Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, and he's not talking about the water, he said, you have put on Christ. So it's not a manner of whether you are. I remember it used to be, well, you know, it's time to get in the Spirit and all the fast singing and the hooping and the hollering. But I was reminded that God is like a running water, like an ever-flowing fountain, like an artesian well. He is ever-flowing. You don't have to work Him up. You don't have to holler or be loud or sing loud songs to work Him up, that He is there. And He said, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, into spiritual union and communion with Christ, the Anointed One. See, that's what it is. You have been baptized into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, and have put on, you have put on and clothed yourself with Christ. These things are already. These things that God is saying to us is bringing back to our remembrance the reality of what is in us as He draws us aside to come in and to have relationship with Him. And we all know 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for when the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call, when a trumpet sounded, it meant a message went forth. For a message will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay, and shall be changed and transformed. For this perishable part of us, this flesh and blood part of us, must put on the imperishable, the incorruptible. And this mortal part of us, this nature which is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. For when this corruptible shall have put on, when this perishable shall put on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying shall have put, be free from death, then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanished forever into in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that death is the last enemy. Death is the last enemy. And God's purpose in the beginning, before He ever created anything, was to bring man into this dimension of time, lower him into vanity, not willingly, but with hope. And through the centuries of time, hallelujah, to build line upon line and precept upon precept, and bring this creation back into remembrance of where we came from, that Christ may be formed in us, that our knowledge of Him, of who we are and of where we came from, would be complete, really restored back to where we were. And in that dimension of restoration of our remembrance of who we are and where we came from, when the finished work of that happens within us, then there's nothing in this world that can prevent the veil being taken off, the covering being removed, hallelujah, and that corporate Christ being unveiled in the earth for all creation to see. And death will be vanquished forever into victory, that God may be all and in all, that creation may be set free from the bondage that is under into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I love the way the Amplified reads the 55th verse. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The King James Version uses O grave, but the word in the Greek is the same. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Hallelujah. Death is defeated. Death is vanquished. Death is exiled forever and never to raise its head again into victory. It says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The day is coming when death will be conquered. The last enemy will be defeated and overcome. And God's manifested sons will stand upon the earth. Paul said, I'm travailing in pain until Christ be formed within you. Till the full and complete knowledge of who you are, of where you came from, and of what God's purpose is in your life will be made open and unveiled within you. Come aside. Build that spiritual booth, that covering. Be hedged in. Be joined together. Be shut up with the Lord. Then be quiet before Him, that He may minister within each of us His word. He has words that will change our lives. 7 days they stayed in that dwelling. And I tell you that 7 days in that confined with God, meditating, and will change who you are and your whole life. God is bringing a change. As we behold Him, we see ourselves. We see the reality of who we are. We see God high and exalted in His temple, and the change that it brings within us. We are being metamorphosed. Our minds, our thinking, our understanding, our consciousness is being metamorphosed as we behold Him. Hallelujah. As we look upon our beloved, as we listen to His sweet voice, His words within us. Because they're words of love, they're words of revelation, they're words of unveiling that is bringing us back into remembrance, into the reality of who we are. You know, what He's already done. It's not what He will do, but it's what He's already done. It's bringing us into that understanding of where we came from. It's a remembrance, it's a remolding, it's a rethinking of what He's done within us. That His word will change and bring reality within us. Thank God for what He's doing. I mean, this is exciting days. This is exciting times that we're living in as children of God. His hand is upon us. His spirit within us. His dwelling place is within us. We were created and formed in His image. Created in His image. And we were formed in His likeness. We are a spiritual being that is being brought back into God. And we praise Him. And we thank Him for all that He is accomplishing in our lives. What an awesome, awesome, awesome Father that we walk with day by day. What awesome love He has for us. Unconditional, non-condemning, non-judgmental love He has for each one of us. He looks at that which is within, and that which is within has already been made perfect in His eyes, because that part of us came out from Him. And we bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.